Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, New York City's independent theater podcast. One of the many things to love about the theater is its ability to, in its own unique and beautiful way, transport people somewhere they might never have realized they could or have wanted to go, like into the unique and beautiful art world of James Castle. If you've never heard of him before, don't worry, I hadn't either, and it definitely did not take away from the experience of Our Voices Theater's Soot and Spit, currently running at the New Ohio. I sat down with some of the team after the show. Take a listen.
So, great. We'll get started. I do like to have everyone's name on the mic. So we'll go around and introduce ourselves, starting with the director.
Hi, I'm Kim Wield.
I'm Geraldine Lear.
I'm J.W. Guido.
I'm Matthew Imhoff.
And can you introduce yourself?
Just so I'm the interpreter, Gianna.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for doing this. So, and the show is, oh my gosh, I'm just kind of overwhelmed.
Soot and Spit.
I was about to say, it's about James Castle. Like, what is it actually called? And it's about the materials that he used to actually create a lot of his work. So I gave a little bit of info there, but I don't know that anyone outside of the art world will know right off the bat who James Castle is. So who wants to give us kind of like the rundown of what this is? What is the play? What is this about?
So, James Castle was what we would refer to as an outside artist, someone who was not trained in the Academy of Art, and as the play poignantly points out, he made art because he needed to make art. This is someone whose language was his hands, his personal as you can get, his own spit to create it, and so this play deals with James Castle, who was born deaf and dumb. I suppose we should start with that as well. But in his lifetime, he created conservatively 20,000 pieces of art, we believe, and this play takes us into his world quite literally.
I do like that you put it that way, because we almost like start to fall into the art, the beings on stage that are our actors literally start to embody that art, which is really cool to watch. So I want to talk a little bit about the play itself. It's written by Charles Mee. What inspired him to do this? So I don't know if you can speak on his behalf.
I can.
And following from that, what did he give you? Because this is such a unique theatrical experience to watch without with large swaths of the play sans dialogue.
Right.
So what did, and tons of music and dance and there's really great stuff. So what does that script look like? I'm always curious to find out when we see a great interpretation of a script that has things beyond what in high school we read as a play. What does the play look like when it got to you?
So the first question you asked is what inspired Chuck to write this play?
Yeah,
so
2 minutes ago when I first started.
That's all right. That's all right. So his patron, Dick Fisher, and also a dear friend of his, collected art, and he had at least one of Castle's pieces in his collection. And Chuck was having lunch with him and his wife, Jeannie Donovan Fisher. And at lunch, Dick pulled this piece of artwork out and showed it to Chuck and said, "Look at this, isn't this extraordinary?" And then explained to Chuck a bit about Castle being born profoundly deaf, never learning to read, write, sign, or speak, making art from the materials at hand with soot and his own spit. And immediately Chuck, of course being Chuck, said, "Well, there's a story,
there's a
play,
there's a
play right?"
This.
And then he wrote this piece, which actually had been around for some time, and I read it after I had done one of his shows called Fête de la Nuit, and approached him about doing it, and it took a while, and eventually I was able to get permission to do it. And it's been a journey, actually. The script, you can go online. All of his scripts are available for free at www.charlesmee.org, which is pretty extraordinary that you can download all of his plays, which is where I first found it. So it's there, but then when I first started working on it in the first production that I did was in 2013 at ASU's Herberger Institute of Design and Art. I was asked to come direct a show there, and when they asked me what I was interested in doing, I gave them three choices, and then I added a fourth, and I said, and then there's this. And it's, I'm not entirely sure what it is, except that I know it is the most out there of Chuck's pieces. When I read it, I saw the whole thing in my mind's eye. And with ASU, I had done Chuck's Big Love there, and I knew the capabilities that they had in terms of media. And I knew that media was going to be a big component in this piece and the integration of it. So I said to Jake Pinholster, who at the time was the artistic director there, there's this piece, and I actually think ASU may be one of the only places that could do it and that we could explore and experiment with. But read it. And in less than 24 hours, he came back to me and he said, yes, we want to do this.
Lovely.
So I started there, and then it's been this process, and over time, you know, what you see, it is Chuck's play, but it's also, it's a lot of, what would you say, Maddie? There's a lot of just, there are things that I added, there are things that, because that's also how Chuck works and working with him, you know.
Is he in the room?
Not for this process, but I would call him and talk to him constantly about ideas that I had.
Here's what came up in rehearsal today. Yes. What if we did this?
Yes. Yeah. And in the field scene, there's text that's been added. And I wrote to him and I said, you know, we batted ideas back and forth, and then I came in with it. So he's been present in my life for a long time and through this process. So, yeah. I mean, there's only once that he's ever said no to me on this, which was, you know, those long speeches?
Mm-hmm.
They're long, but they're really good. I called him early on. I wanted to take that section and divvy it up, and I wanted to move the speeches around. And almost immediately, reading my mind, he said no. I knew exactly what I was doing when I wrote those, and we were talking on the phone, and I had this moment of, I think I kind of froze for a second. And then there was this pause, and he said, it's a landscape. And as soon as he said that, I got it. I understood it. And I think of this piece as a poem. It's really, you know, it's not a biography. And it is.
No, certainly not.
It's not a biography.
But I feel like you do kind of get an idea of who. I walked in and someone was saying, like, oh, be sure to check out the artwork in the lobby. And I was like, why would I check out artwork in the lobby? I'm here for the play. I don't, whatever. And it didn't click at all. I knew nothing about this walking in.
Right.
But I feel at the end of the play that I understand a whole lot more about who this person was.
That's great.
So, I mean, in that sense, I would say that is
yeah.
successful.
That's
yeah.
great.
We get the sense of this person. Also, I need to say this, because quick shout out to stage management everywhere, but especially the stage management of your show, who has been out there, yes, all y'all, killing it, picking up the glorious artistic mess that has been spread around the stage. So I want to talk to the people who are on that stage. This is, it sounds like you had quite a process to piece this together. How have you all been involved with this since the first iteration? And if not, what have you found, like what has that process been like to come from what Chuck had through Kim's directorial / musical lens?
For me, as an actor, as James, it was a really interesting challenge, mostly because there are limited facts about him. We just don't know a lot. There's no films, only pictures and his art. So my process to analyze his art, see how he drew and why, and that gave me a feeling of inspiration inside to do something.
You, and in how you acted, performed the character, it felt like this was directly inspired by what? Are there photographs of him at all, even? I know you said there's no video, but it was such a specific interpretation of a person.
Right.
Was it from photos? Was it from, but or was it just from the art?
That's it, really. The art and photos, that's it. And with Kim, we were just discussing so many things about James and listening to different discussion panels about him. And it was really interesting. All of the facts are not, you know, there yet. Where are they from? They're from the family, which they have limited information. So it's really interesting to find all of the different, you know, possibilities.
It's really cool to watch and how we get this person. Again, I know I'm going back to this, and maybe it's because I'm such an aural person, but what I heard from the character was very, very loud. it was really fascinating.
Cool.
How about for, like, with all the music, you all are singing up there, there's, and this is maybe going to tie, I'm going to make, like, throw out some crazy big question. Just everybody roll from here, if this makes any sense at all. There's so much music, and we're talking about an artist who didn't speak. We're talking about art via another art form, with another art form included with the music. So what does it mean to do art about art, inspired by art, and an artist that we don't have a whole lot of information on, except for his art, as an artist? What were you drawing from as well to put this together?
I've found it just to be a very humbling experience, and to work with Kim is so amazing every rehearsal. But James Castle and Charles Mee and the music of John Hartford, those are three artists that had no interest, or in the case of James Castle, ability at the time to be a commercial artist. But they all followed their own vision. And I find that very inspiring as an actor to know that my vision, what I have inside of me, is a value.
And I was about to say, does it give you a freedom as a performer on stage to...
Well, it was very daunting, and for my role, when I had a very long speech that full of heightened language.
Let's say that was you, right? The first.
That was me.
The first
paper doll.
Paper person on stage with the epic speech was you, right?
Yes.
We can't see your face for most of it, so.
That was me. That was me. And the first time I read it, I was so intimidated, and I did the role during a workshop.
Right, because this has been part of the archive residency through the New Ohio and IRT Theater. So we've been working on this for about a year and a half now, 2 years.
His language is so heightened and so beautiful. And I grew up on poetry, but I found it very daunting. And Kim and I worked on it and talked about it. And the first showcase went well, but then we... Suddenly, I was going to have a mask on my face,
you mean large box too?
Yes. it's a large cardboard
very
box.
Daunting.
Because last summer when we did it for the three performances in the Ice Factory, she didn't have the box on her head.
Oh, okay.
It was nor did she have the boxes on her feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very different.
But it was a process of trying. Does this work? Does this work? Well, maybe it means this. Maybe it means that. And to work with a director like Kim, who is so willing to not know and to explore, and to have a director say, well, what I learned when you just did that. A lot of directors want you to think they know everything. And Kim is one that is so sure of her own vision, and she's willing to not have one in order to see where it goes.
I loved how you said it earlier, that these are people who were so... just uninterested in the commercial component, that they just made what they made because they made it. And like it sounds like it just gives you that freedom again, as like you said, you were inspired as an artist to
I remember
have
asking,
that freedom to put out there what you wanted to put out there. Uh-huh. And a director who was chill with that, which is great.
Yeah. I had one line where I say, if I meet God tomorrow to know and speak to, the first question but one I shall ask him would be. And I went up to Charles Meehan after the first showing and I said, what's the one thing? You know, I'll ask God but one. And he said, I don't know, what do you think? Like, you know, he's so open to our interpretation of his work. Mm. And it's just been the honor of my career to be in this show.
That's high praise.
Wow.
There's one line that really stuck out for me, so I'm hoping somebody remembers exactly how it was, but where someone said all of, it's not just the children of kings who were given a gift at birth.
It's not just children of kings who are given fabulous gifts.
When they're born.
That to me felt like, that was like the thesis statement of the play for me.
Yes.
And was did that help guide y'all as well? Because that's immediately what I latched onto of this piece.
Mm-hmm. And it comes pretty late in the play.
It does, yeah. Well, but I think it helps to give you a sense of what you've seen up to that point.
Yes. Yeah. My hope is that there's a payoff. You stick with us, and there's an accumulation of things that pay off in the end. And that is one of them. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone want to share any other thoughts, ideas, comments? More love for your fellow creators here. I love that everybody's speaking so highly of one another. I really enjoy that.
it's a wonderful cast.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful cast.
It really
and I
is.
Love being on stage with JW every night. You know, I imagine James Castle walking out before me, sort of his spirit, and tonight he laughed, and it was JW's laugh that I imagined in my head. I just can't take my eyes off him. It's a good thing, because I play his mother, so.
I would say.
And since I'm the only deaf person in the cast, a lot of people didn't know sign until now, and then some of them have been learning. That makes me feel really good. At the same time, I see them as my art and as my world. I'm trying to show them and focus, you know, on my art. And yes, they're my friends. They're my art, and I love them.
That's beautiful. Well, they are. I mean, they literally get to play your art. That's so cool.
True. Man?
One of the things that all of the literature that we've read and researched on it describes is how fiercely loved James Castle was. Yeah. And I think one of the things that is so beautiful and brilliant about JW's performance is, without a single word, we feel that same love his family felt for James Castle.
I think that's a beautiful place to end this.
Thank
you all so much. The show is Soot and Spit. We are at the New Ohio, and this is like the culmination of an archive residency.
It is, yeah.
And how much longer do y'all run?
Till June 17th. So please come, and you know we're in the lobby afterwards, so you can have a drink with us
and enjoy the artwork.
And enjoy the artwork, and also at the Whitney right now. There are 23 works by James Castle on display on the 7th floor, so you can come downtown and make a whole big day of it.
Yeah, bring your family, walk the High Line, and then check out the Whitney.
We are also, we're going to have two ASL performances. That's June 8th at 7:30 p.m. and June 10th, I believe it's the matinee. And then we also have an autism-friendly performance. That's the matinee on June 17th as well.
Beautiful. Thank you all so much.
I need
to ask, tickets and more information can be found at
www.newohiotheaterre.org.
Brilliant. Thanks again, y'all.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim, Matthew, JW, and Geraldine, for hanging out to chat, and thank you, Gianna, for interpreting. You can catch Soot and Spit at the New Ohio, 154 Christopher Street in Manhattan, through June 17th, 2017. Head to newohiotheater.org, and that's theater with an R-E, for a link to tickets and more information. And a quick shout out before I end to the League of Independent Theater. If you are a theater artist working in New York City, you really should join LIT. Membership is free, and the organization is doing some great work in the interest of the independent theater community. They've got a great initiative going right now, Election Engagement 2017, and they're calling on volunteers to help elect pro-arts candidates in the city. If you've ever wanted to get involved in politics but didn't quite know where to start, this is your invitation. Head to litny.org to join the league and get more information on getting involved in election engagement. You can also just write me directly, Robert Gagneau, R-O-B-E-R-T-G-O-N-Y-O, at litny.org. And as always, thanks for listening into the podcast. If you dig it, please give it a like on Facebook, facebook.com/GoSeeAShow. Follow at GoSeeAShow on Twitter and rate or comment on the Apple Podcasts page. Until next time, go see a show.
Hands in the airway.
Awesome. All right.